everybody, and welcome to another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new episode. New episodes go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You can find the video version on the YouTube page. But the easiest way to stay up to date with new episodes of the show, along with other reviews that I put up, because I actually do multiple reviews throughout the week, is to get subscribed to my Linktree, which is linktr.ee/tscarymovie. If you get subscribed to the Linktree, that's going to give you access to the YouTube page for the video versions of the show, to your favorite podcasting platforms for the audio-only versions of the show, and to things like my Letterboxd for written reviews, along with my TikTok page, so you can see all my horror videos that I'm putting out as well, too. So, smash that subscribe button so you can stay up to date with everything I'm discussing in the world of horror. And you're gonna want to, because folks, again, I got so many great ones this month that I'm diving into. I just got done talking Puppet Master and Critters 2. I'm gonna be talking Leprechaun and Leprechaun in the Hood. I'm gonna be talking Sting, Arachnophobia, Late Night with the Devil, Vacancy, Imaginary, and tonight's film, Hide and Seek. So you're not gonna wanna miss any of that. Make sure to get subscribed so you can get alerts for when my new reviews are coming up. So, like I just said, tonight I'm going to be talking about Hide and Seek. That's the 2005 thriller that starred Robert De Niro and Dakota Fanning. Now, this is one that I never took the time to see, only because I remember seeing the previews, the trailers for it, you know, 20 years ago almost at this point, and remember thinking, even at that age, I would have been like 16, maybe 17 at the time, I remember thinking that, man, like, this doesn't look all that interesting. And I like Robert De Niro. And by that point, Dakota Fanning had been in enough to where, like, typically anything she's in is pretty enjoyable as well, too. But the film just seemed like it was a little too predictable, honestly. And back then, I've talked about it, honestly, in the last year, to where I used to be such a snob for horror that I need to make sure it fit a certain mold. Gotta be vampires, gotta be werewolves, gotta be zombies. Whether it's acting, whether it's directing, it's gotta be about an established IP in most cases. And so this is just one that fell right under the radar. But because I'm gonna be talking about Imaginary, which is coming to theaters this coming weekend here on March 8th, I decided that I needed to find something kind of in the same realm to talk about, and that brought me here to Hide and Seek. Now, keep in mind again, we are past the 10-year rule, but I am going to try to not just directly straight up spoil it as well, because this is a movie that very much relies on a twist ending. So, we're going to try to stay away from that, but let's jump in here. Hide and Seek tells the story of David Calloway, who has recently discovered his wife dead in the bathtub of his home, along with his young daughter, Emily, played by Dakota Fanning. Now, seeking a way in order to get themselves a new start and to try to give both David and Allison some time to really, Allison's his wife, David and Emily some time to reconnect and maybe find out what the both of them need to recover from this tragedy, they decide to move to upstate New York, where Emily soon makes a new friend named Charlie. Suddenly, all these bad things are happening around David and Emily's house, and it seems that the only person that can be blamed for them is Charlie. Or could it possibly be that there's other sinister forces at work? Now, back in 05, and this just kind of get context for it here, we're still looking at like a De Niro here who was just taking all the chances in the world. Like, I think that's one of the most likable things about Robert De Niro as an actor, especially as he's gotten older in his career, is that we still get the same work out of him that we would expect, like these epic films to where, you know, he's playing a crime boss or somebody involved in crime, and he's doing the typical stuff that you would expect who's gonna beat up and kill everybody. I say that especially knowing that I watched the movie The Family recently, which is such a good movie. That's such a good movie with him and Michelle Pfeiffer in it. Love that movie. And it's another one that, again, it's like in Robert De Niro's wheelhouse, but then it's also very different for him as well, too. And what's kind of interesting is that Robert De Niro, his relationship with horror is honestly really, really good. Like, it's rare for Robert De Niro to pick, like, just a straight-up bad movie and also to put in a bad performance. And I will say that Hide and Go Seek does feature one of the more interesting subdued Robert De Niro performances that we've gotten out of his career, because he's obviously playing this grieving father who he knows a bit. I mean, he's a psychologist, so he knows some of the stuff that might be able to help his daughter out. And as they've moved to this new location, he's trying to make friends, possibly look into a new relationship as well too. But David is obviously clearly suffering from loss of his wife as well. And he's having issues connecting with his daughter, Emily. Emily seems to have turned all her dependence onto her imaginary friend, Charlie, which David is pretty concerned about because, again, terrible things are happening around the house, whether it's that their cat has died or other neighbors around their area are starting to turn up dead as well too, or as we start peeling back layers of the death of David's wife as well, we see that there's some nefarious things happening, and the question really is Charlie behind this? Now, Hide and Seek is very much a game of tell, but don't really show. That's how a lot of psychological thrillers work, is that the goal is for you to kind of try to figure out what's going on as the movies continues moving. And I think the big problem with Hide and Seek here is that the film doesn't leave any interpretation open for what is happening, like what's happening in David and Emily's life. Again, I'm not gonna just straight up spoil the film, but it becomes pretty apparent, even around like the halfway mark of the movie, that if we're not really, like if we're not giving more information, you know, they always say that the simplest explanation is the shortest one. It's the simplest one that's there. And you can kind of put two and two together when you see this, what that basically means for how this is gonna end up with Emily's friend Charlie. Like, where's that plot thread going? And I think that's the downside, because ultimately it's not a bad movie. Like, it's not an overly bad movie. It could absolutely have been done much better. Like, this is not one that I think that most of you are honestly ever going to go back to and feel any kind of negative way about it. Like, I just don't see that happening. But it doesn't change the fact at all that were there just a few extra tidbits added to this film. And the fact that it's at 100 minutes, you know, it's not particularly long. They had time to add another 15 or 20 minutes to the film that could have really fleshed out, like, okay, we're saying that Charlie is the one behind this here, so can we add suspects? Because Charlie is supposed to be an imaginary friend, so could we add more to the idea that it's David, that it's Emily, that it's one of their neighbors, that it is some kind of supernatural force? And the movie seems to just go in one direction with what that result is going to be. And it really does greatly suffer for it, because at that point, you kind of know what's telegraphed, you know what's coming at the end, and the twist ending doesn't end up being that much of a twist, unfortunately. Now, beyond that, I will say that the last 15, 20 minutes or so of the film are really, really entertaining. You know, getting to see everything come to a head and seeing the way that, you know, Robert De Niro and Dakota Fanning and the rest of the cast kind of have to react to everything going on is a lot of fun, honestly. It's a very engaging finale that we get in the film itself. But the issue is that finale is truly only good in a vacuum. If you're looking at it by itself, it's a really good work. Everything that came before it, unfortunately, lets down the explosive ending that Hide and Seek tries to bring to you. And I mean, I have some comparisons. I have some film comparisons I want to say, but saying those is 100% going to tell you what the twist of this movie is. Jesus! Excuse me. The Uninvited! Excuse me. I'm fighting through a cold right now, so I got a few sneezes here. But I can't really just say those movies straight up, because if you see those movies, if you know them, you have an idea of what this twist is going to be, and it takes away from everything else. Now, With that, this movie famously had multiple endings on it as well. So the end of the film sets up that, unfortunately, things might not be okay. And that's where, you know, that's a slight spoiler I have to give to you here. The film doesn't necessarily end on this complete downer of a note there, but it very much implies that things are likely going to get worse for everybody still in this situation. That's the main US ending. But the thing is that there were multiple other endings that some were used overseas, and then all the rest are on the DVD that's available for you to check out. And I did go back and look at the, like, look at those endings, honestly. And I don't know. Three of those endings, honestly, I think would have been better than the one that we got ultimately. I think the one that's in the film is just a little too tame. It's a little too subdued for everything that happens. Not a bad ending at all, but I do think three of the four other endings that they put out would have been a much better choice to go with. But that's coming from me, because I like everything to kind of end on a very terrible note in a lot of horror films, and so that would have fit exactly what I was craving. Either way, you can check it out. The film is actually available if you have Stars. You can actually watch it for free right now. So check that out if you have it. Otherwise, let me know in the comment section. Did you go and see Hide and Seek? What did you ultimately think here of the twist? Do you think that you agree with what I'm saying? That if they added just a little bit more, highlighting a few other suspects of what could be going on, that the film could be much better than the way it was presented? Let me know in that comment section. And folks, if you like this review, hit that like button right now. And make sure to share it as well to everybody to come to the channel and start watching all these reviews, because I got so many coming out for you here over the coming weeks. And I'm finally going to get back to getting some interviews for y'all as well too. So you're going to want to stay tuned, because I got some great stuff coming up for you. But that's going to do it for me tonight, folks. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared. Everybody, looking for a great way to stay up to date on horror news, as well as read the best of articles on anything scary out in the world right now? Then you need to head over to the Fangoria shop and get yourself a subscription. If you go to shop.fangoria.com/axdw, you can use my own personalized 20% discount to save 20% off on Fangoria magazine subscriptions, as well as 20% off any other items in their fantastic shop. This is a great deal. If you've ever been wanting to get yourself a subscription, now is the time to do so. Head to shop.fangoria.com/axdew.